One day, Hephzibah was washing the laundry, and the Lord came to her and said, "Hephzibah, time is winding up. Time for you to come into glory. Time for you to receive that pearl of great price. Time for you to come to your heavenly home. Time for you to share divine life." Now, Hephzibah was a little bit taken aback. She said to herself, "Well, that's all well and good, but I'm not quite done yet. I have to polish up my resume before I go to meet St. Peter." So God was not completely surprised when Hephzibah said, "Come back and see me a week from Tuesday." You see, we have a problem living in the present tense. But that's where God lives. God lives in the present tense. You know, we tend to live maybe in the past tense. You know, we're like Martha and Mary. "Lord, if you had been here. Lord, if this hadn't happened. Lord, if this wasn't done to me. Lord, if I hadn't experienced that. Lord, if my family hadn't gone through that." We tend to live in the past. But that's not where God lives. God lives in the present. Or maybe we live in the future, you know. I know he will rise on the last day. I know that. But what Martha experienced was that even knowing that didn't help her all that much. Knowing that everything was in God's hand did not give her the consolation that she needed. So living in the future was not doing her much good. Because God lives in the present tense. We heard Jesus say today, "I am the resurrection and the life." Again and again in the gospel, we hear that phrase, "I am." And Jesus never says, "Well, I was." He doesn't say, "I will be." He says, "I am." Because Jesus wants us to be grounded in the present tense. Yes, we're certainly aware of and grateful for the fact that God has acted throughout history. God has called a nation out of slavery into freedom and sent us a redeemer. And we're very hopeful for what God will do in the future. God's mighty day of triumph and glory is coming. But we can't dwell there. We have to dwell in the present, in the I am, because that's where God is going to be found, in the I am. So when we are going through some trauma, as Martha and Mary were, of loss, when we're having some great difficulty, when we are experiencing some pain, when our bodies are giving out to us, we need to hear Jesus say that I am with you in this. I am with you in what you're going through today. And I am consoling you in the present. But when we say that, as we heard in the gospel, knowing that God is with us in the present does not exempt us from pain and suffering. You know, Jesus had just said, you know, "I am the resurrection and the life." He knew that. And yet he still, we're told by St. John, was filled with anguish, with tremendous feelings of emotion, and we're told he wept. And so in our present tense, we can expect the same thing. We can expect, even when we know that God is with us, that we're going to have those strong feelings. We're going to go through those griefs. We're going to have to weep. I was really struck when Jesus said today that Lazarus is not going to die. And yet he did. And Jesus said that because he wanted his disciples to realize that the death itself, trouble itself, weeping itself, never gets the last word. Jesus said, it's for the glory of God. And so no matter what we're going through, we are being invited to discover there the glory of God. Yes, we have those tremendous anguish-filled moments in our life, but we can still have confidence that love is stronger than death. Yes, we are going to be torn apart at times, but we can still have hope in what God does for us. Yes, we weep, but we're still in God's hands. That's how we have a present tense faith. And that reminds us that faith is not saying these prayers or learning this catechism or experiencing church or keeping the commandments. Faith is what God does. It's not what we do. It's what God does in us and for us. And so that prayer that Jesus said today, I think, is a real present tense prayer. Father, I know you hear me. I know you hear me. Because you always hear me. And that's the prayer we have to weave into our life. God, I know you hear me. Because I know you always hear me. And one other thing about present tense faith that strikes me is that it has to be found in relationship. Jesus, we're told, loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, consubstantial, whatever that means, with the Father. And yet, he needed these relationships. He needed this connection. He needed this human participation. Because that's what grounds us in the present. Those relationships. We can easily miss some relationship back there, or maybe we can pine for some hoped for relationship in the future. But that doesn't do us any good. What does good in our hearts and in our lives is connecting with, being with, relating with the people who are part of our story today. That's how we have a present tense faith. So we're told often that the saints are asked, you know, well, if you knew this was the last day of your life, what would you do? And they inevitably answer, well, I'd do what I'm doing right now. I'd do what I'm doing right now. And so maybe that's the invitation these last 2 weeks of Lent, to challenge ourselves in the present tense. If you're going to die today, what would you be doing? And if you're not doing what you're doing right now, that's an invitation to change your mind and heart and to do those things that fill you with hope and confidence today, because it's today, when you hear his voice, that God calls you to live fully a life of joy. Amen.